Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings, chapter 17. We'll read verses 8 through 16 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. First Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And let's finish on verse 16 together. Ready? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Now, Father, please, Lord, we are a sinful people. We stand before you needy. We stand before you unclean. I pray that you'd fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives. Lord, this world is in need of you, and use us to reach it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Now, I want everyone to still themselves and listen very carefully, if you would. There are many needs. Okay, let's be real still now, and you'll need to sit real quiet there. There are many needs represented here in this auditorium today. There are those that have relationship needs. There are people that have health needs. People have financial needs. There are people that have emotional needs. Spiritual needs are represented by the mass here in this auditorium. People would say, I have need of something mentally, emotionally, and physically. There are needs that others would know about, and yet there are needs that nobody knows that somebody has. There are young Christians that have only been saved a short time, a few days even, a few weeks, a few months. Young Christians that have needs, and yet there are veteran Christians in this auditorium who have needs today. There are children that have needs, and teenagers that have needs, adults, married people, single people. There are widows that have needs. There are family needs. Oh, how could those needs be met? Well, God is a great God, and God knows how to meet the need of the mass of people. He knows how to meet a variety of needs. The passage of Scripture that we read a few moments ago, at this time in biblical history, there was a great prophet by the name of Elijah. God had commanded Elijah to go to a place called Zarephath. In 1 Kings 17, 9, it says, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. In this city, there was a famine, and there was a drought. Can you imagine? God told the man of God to go someplace where there was a drought and there was a famine, because God said, I'm sending you there and I'm going to meet your needs. That sounds odd, but you'll have to understand something. God's ways are not man's ways. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. And God said, I want you to go there. I'm glad Elijah did not question God. He just did what God told him to do. When Elijah enters town, there is a widow lady there. She's out gathering sticks. She's going to use those sticks to burn in her cooking stove. Elijah walks up to the lady and says, ma'am, I'd like to have some bread. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17:11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. This is what she says. She says to him, I only have a handful of cornmeal in my barrel at home. Now, they would have used a barrel something like this. You ever seen what, now this is one half of an old fashioned barrel. You've seen, they might have called it, I'd call it a pickle barrel or a water barrel. You'd have the other half of it. She had a barrel, and that barrel was at home, and they would fill that barrel. Well, if you could, you might consider it like Bible time Tupperware. And they would have kept their cornmeal in a barrel like this one. And she said, sir, you're asking me to give you some bread, but all I have at home is one handful of cornmeal in my barrel. My barrel is empty. Now, she said, I tell you what I'm about to do. I'm getting ready to build a fire. I'm going to take my one handful of cornmeal, and I'm going to take the few ounces of oil that I have left at home. I'm going to make a corn muffin. I'm going to split that between me and my son. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. That's all that we have. Now, it's odd to me that the scripture says she planned to build her fire using two sticks. Now, two sticks don't make a real big fire, if you ask me. But the Bible said she was getting ready to build her a two-stick fire. She's going to use that fire in her cooking stove so that she could take that one handful of cornmeal, and then she was going to make one cupcake, if you will, one muffin. She had, can you imagine how much bread could one handful of cornmeal make? And she was going to cut that in half and feed half to herself and half to her son. Now, her situation is very obviously desperate. I mean, that's what she told Elijah. If you were listening while the scripture was being read, she told him, she said, I plan to cook this. We plan to eat it. We plan to die. She and her son needed their needs met. This was a life and death matter for them. Now, I asked myself a question about this. Why was she using her time to gather sticks when at home she had a wooden barrel? She was about to use her last handful of cornmeal, then die. Why not just break up the wooden barrel and burn it? Why was she out looking for two sticks? She had that great big barrel. How many of you ever seen one of these barrels when they're huge? They're about, you know, 3.5-4 foot tall, this big around. I believe she had a huge wooden barrel at home. But she's out looking for two sticks. Now, let me explain something to you. Not burning her barrel was an act of faith. Not burning her barrel. Not burning that barrel said, I know I'm looking for sticks, and I know I've only got one handful of cornmeal, and I know I've only got a little bit of oil, but I'm not going to burn my barrel just in case God goes ahead and comes through for me in a big time way. Not burning the barrel was her in her heart saying, I know my God is able. Not burning the barrel was an act of hope on her part. Again, I ask myself, she's out gathering two sticks when she's got that whole wooden barrel. And if really she believes she's about to eat one handful of cornmeal and die, why not just burn the barrel?
But she thought, God may still come through. Elijah tells her, she says, make me some bread and from that barrel of cornmeal. And Elijah actually says to her, if you'll make me some cornbread, I think God is going to provide what you need. It says in 1 Kings 17:14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Hey, Elijah said, lady, if you'll do this, if you'll do what I tell you, if you'll give me a cake of your cornbread, I'm promising you each time you dip into your barrel, that barrel that you did not burn by faith, there's going to be more cornmeal in there. There's going to be cornmeal for me to have some cornbread. There's going to be meal in there for you to have some cornbread. There's going to be meal in there for your son to have cornbread. And there's going to be enough for Sunday. And there's going to be enough for Monday. And there's going to be enough for Tuesday. And there's going to be enough for Wednesday. And there's going to be enough for Thursday, and there's going to be enough for Friday, and there's going to be enough for Saturday. Matter of fact, there's going to be enough until this famine comes to an end. If you'll obey me and you'll obey what God's told me to tell you to do, you're going to have all the cornbread you need. Now, I don't know about you, but I like cornbread. I like cornbread. And I'd be saying, all right, let's do it. She did exactly what Elijah told her to do. You know what happened? God miraculously replenished the cornmeal in that barrel. 1 Kings 17:16 says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The Bible says that all three of them, Elijah, this lady, this widow lady, and her son, all three of them ate from that one handful of cornmeal many days, the Bible says. Well, the promise had been that he would feed them out of that barrel until the famine ended. You say, wow, that's amazing. It says in 1 Kings 17:15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she did, and he and her house did eat many days. You say, wow, that's amazing. Folks, let me tell you something. You know what amazing is? You can take one little kernel of corn, pop it in the ground, and God can multiply it and give you all the corn that you ever need. God's been doing this for a long time. We might all look and say, wow, look at that. What do you mean? We live with the miracle of God's provision all the time. Thank God, though. Thank God she didn't burn her barrel. Hey, that's what I call the sermon. I call the sermon, burn the sticks. Don't burn your barrel. Burn your sticks, but don't burn your barrel. Thank God she didn't lose hope. She's out looking for sticks trying to solve the problem. But at home there was wood for the fire. But she knew that that wood was the receptacle of God's blessing. That barrel was the place that God would meet the need. And if God came through, she wanted God to know there was a willing heart ready to receive a miracle from God. Don't burn your barrel. Don't lose your hope, Christian. Don't lose your faith in God, Christian. God can still do a miracle and meet your need. Don't lose your barrel of faith in God, and don't burn your barrel of faith in God's word. Don't burn your barrel in God's ability, that faith that we have that God can provide. Hey, don't stop believing that God can answer prayer. Don't stop believing that God could not work a miracle. God can. God can do it. I am so glad that that lady went out looking for two sticks. She went out looking for two sticks when she had plenty of wood. She had plenty of wood at home, but that wood was a piece of wood that pictured her faith in God's ability to take care of her. I'm so glad she didn't burn her barrel. Lady, go ahead and burn the sticks, but whatever you do, don't burn your barrel. And I say to the Christians in this building today, don't burn your barrel. Keep your faith in God. Believe in God. You say, these are tough days. Hey, you believe in God. They were living in tough days. You say, these are tough economic times. It was tough economic times for that widow. Don't burn your barrel, Christian. Don't burn your barrel. You say, Brother Owens, right now, the odds are stacked against me. The odds were stacked against her. She had said, we're going to eat our cornbread, My boy will get half of it. I'll get half of it. And I'm not talking a great big old 8.5 by 11 sheet of cornbread. I'm talking about a corn muffin. She said, I'm eating half. My boy's eating half. And we will die. Now, nobody in here faces that extreme today. But that's what she faced. And she said, I'm going to go get me 2 sticks. You say, why only two? Well, they didn't have much cornmeal to burn. They didn't have too much, but I'll tell you this. She kept that barrel just in case God came through. Hey, don't burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel. Keep your faith in God. For instance, may I say, first of all, don't burn your barrel in fear, but have faith. I said, don't burn your barrel in fear. Keep your faith in God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 13 said this. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's what the prophet said. Elijah said, fear not. Hey, don't fear, my friend. God is still in charge. Don't fear, Christian. God is still able to deliver you. Don't burn your barrel in fear. Don't give up on God. You know that Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here the Bible tells us that God shall supply. God shall supply. Now notice, he's going to supply your need. That doesn't mean God's going to supply everything you want. We live in a pretty spoiled day. We live in a pretty elaborate day. We seem to think, I don't know that this generation understands the difference in needs and wants. But I'll tell you this, God said, I shall supply all your need. And you say, well, how in the world, on what basis is God going to supply my need? On the basis of his riches. And he is a rich God. God is able to meet your need. Hey, don't lose your faith. Don't burn your barrel in fear. You know how it is. Something comes upon us. We're not sure how to deal with it. And we panic a little bit. And we are stricken by this monster called fear. Let me tell you something. Elijah told the lady, don't you fear. You have faith. Keep your faith. And I'm glad she didn't burn her barrel in fear. Hey, it was her barrel. And then let me tell you, it was her barrel, not somebody else's. Some of you have watched God meet the need of others. You say, wow, that was miraculous. Now it's your turn. You watch somebody else have a great need. And you said, praise God. Look at what God did for them. But for some of you, you're now facing the great need. You're the one that's up against it. Let me tell you, it was her barrel and she had to have faith. She had to, I'm going to guess there were other people in town that already burnt their barrels. I imagine you could go house to house and you could find people that already burnt their barrels and used the wood. Maybe the reason why she was going to try to start a fire with 2 sticks is because there was such a famine in the land. Everybody had been gathering sticks. I can remember times of camping out and maybe we'd go to a state park or someplace like that. And you want to go looking around for sticks to use. And if everybody in the park was looking for sticks, wood, you'd think, well, there'd be plenty of wood over there. Not if everybody already picked it up and they were already using it. And it might be in this day, everybody had already burnt their barrels. Everybody had gone out and picked up all the brush that was on the ground. And here is one lady who said, I'm not burning my barrel. Somebody else might say, lady, burn your barrel. God's not going to take care of you. Give up like the rest of us. And one sweet, dear widow lady said, I'm not burning my barrel. My God's alive. My God could still do this. Hey, don't burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel in fear. Don't burn it. Don't burn it. Don't burn it. Hey, listen. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply. You need to understand that God can meet your need. Times are hard, but times were hard for this widow lady. And I love what I see here. You know what she did? She did all that she could. Then God had to do the rest. Notice, she said, you know, I'll do everything I can. I'll go out and I'll get me a couple sticks. Now, folks, some of you want to have faith in God and you say, you know what? I think I'll just sit on the couch and have faith in God. You better do everything you can to solve your problem. You do everything you can and then God will do the rest. God wants you to step up and do your part. God wants you to do all that you can to solve your problem. Then God will step in. I see this dear sweet lady did not burn her barrel. She knew that God had the power to come through. She'd gone out and gathered a couple sticks. Why? That's what she could do. Now you do what you can, and then God comes along and God can meet the need. Maybe God allowed her to get in this shape so he could show himself to her. Had she burnt the barrel, she would have missed a big blessing, huh? There are some of you. You're throwing in the towel. You've lost your faith in God. You're moving away from God instead of toward God. Let me tell you something. If you burn your barrel, you're going to be sorry. There are some great things that God would like to do in your life. You say, but things are not going so well right now. Hey, that's when you need God the most. That's when you need him the most. Folks, fear is a paralyzer. And Elijah said to that lady, he said, fear not. Fear not. Fear is a paralyzer. Keep going forward for God. Fear is an intimidator. Y'all know how fear comes? Boy, something happens and the old devil gets into that thing and you just feel like mentally something's attacking you and telling you, oh, this is so bad. You're never going to make it. You can't make it. You can't take it. There is no tomorrow. Life is over with. No more blessing for God. You can't do it. Oh, fear, go back to hell where you belong. You're always going around throwing your weight around trying to intimidate God's people. I say to the Christians in this house, don't burn your barrel. God's alive. God's alive. God can still meet your needs. Fear is a liar. Fear is an intimidator. Fear is a paralyzer. Keep on going for God. And so I say, don't burn your barrel in fear. Have faith in God. Secondly, be careful that you don't burn your barrel in stinginess. Don't burn your barrel in stinginess. 1 Kings 17:13 says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. I think that's going to be, I'm going to take a part of that as my life's verse. Make me a little cake. I'll start signing Bibles. Make me a little cake. I like cake. Notice, no matter how tough she had it, she is being asked to keep sharing. Keep giving. You might say, well, that seems rude. That seems selfish. But God was telling that widow lady that when you personally are in need, that's no time to become stingy and self-centered. You say that seems odd. Again, may I say to you, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. In Luke 6:38, it says, give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Hey, don't burn your barrel in stinginess. God came along and through the prophet Elijah said to the lady, don't you let fear paralyze you. You keep going forward by faith. Then Elijah said, now you give me of your meal. You give me and God's going to take care of you. And that is God saying to the lady, though you're up against it, don't you turn out like the rest of the world does. All they care about is themselves. Me, mine, my. I got to take care of me. I got to do what's best for me. Elijah said, don't you do that, man. Don't you get all self-centered. God was about to use her barrel to meet her need. And God was not only going to use her barrel to meet her need. He was going to use it to meet the man of God's need, Elijah's need, and her son's need. Actually, the wording is used in the scripture, all of her house. I don't know that there were not other people living in her house at this time. She had only mentioned her and her son. And she, though, was told by Elijah, you share what meal you have with me. God will take care of the rest. And we find out that God ends up feeding him, Elijah, her, the widow, her son, and their house. The scripture tends to lean toward there were others there. What had happened? Had she become stingy, God would have never filled her barrel with meal. God was about to use that barrel of faith to meet the need. The stingy thing would have been to burn the barrel. Burn that barrel. Eat that handful of meal. Make a cake for yourself and your son. Thank God she didn't burn the barrel. And God used her to help others. Some of you are going through tough times right now because God wants you to learn to help others. God wants you. Did you know, sometimes when we go through a tough time, that tough time that we're going through trains us to help other people that are going through a tough time. Sometimes we have no idea what somebody else is experiencing in their pain and in their heartache. And we get so caught up in our fluffy, comfy world. And we don't take the time to care about other people. But God has a way of allowing things to come into our life that cause us some grief and some heartache and some pain. And He's not doing it to destroy us. He's doing it to make us into better people. And there's some of you that are suffering right now. And God is trying to train you to help people that are suffering the same way you are. And I believe that had she burnt her barrel, she would have never been able to help some other people. Her empty barrel was part of the way that God used to train her to get her ready to be used in a greater way for God. Thank God she didn't burn her barrel. You know, people, even people with little must give just like people with much. We seem to think, well, if a guy's got $1 million, he ought to be giving. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you ought to be giving. Say, look at everything that they have, they ought to be giving. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you have little, you're not to give. Everybody must fight that demon of selfishness. Everybody must ward off our stinginess and our self-centeredness. How much you have doesn't have a whole lot to do with your attitude toward things and covetousness. In tough times, don't become so self-centered that all you think about is you. I wonder if she debated the thing. I wonder if she were gathering those sticks and she looked at that barrel and she thought, you know what? I think I'll just do what's best for me. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to take me and my boy. That's it. That's it. Hey, and had the prophet of God walk up to her and said, give me my meal. She'd say, hit the road, Jack. What are you talking about? You want me to give you of my meal? No way I'm going to share with you. No way. No way at all. Now, had she been trying to provide for her boy, it was one thing. But wait a minute. She said, me and my boy. She's saying, I'm taking care of me. I thank God that when the man of God said, you need to share, though you don't have a whole lot, that she said, okay, I'll do what you say. I'm going to do what you say. Don't burn your barrel with that fire of self-pity. Don't burn your barrel with the flames of selfishness. Be careful now. First of all, don't burn your barrel in fear. Keep your faith. Secondly, don't burn your barrel by enacting that stinginess that is so available and active in the carnal nature of a Christian. And thirdly, may I say, don't burn your barrel because God can still meet your needs. Don't burn your barrel. God could still meet your needs. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 14, it says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God had promised because she acted in faith. She didn't get stingy. She didn't freak out of fear. And she said, you know what? I'm going to do what God said. And God said, then I will provide for you from now until the famine breaks. That's exactly what God did. It is God. Hey, listen, folks, do you know who gave you your barrel in the first place? God's the one that gave you your barrel. Did you know that you're not the one that's provided all your needs up until this point anyway? There's some of you awful vain. You say, well, you know, I'm all panicked because I don't have what I need. God's been the one that's been giving you everything you need until today. What makes you think that He can't do it tomorrow? Has God met your needs before? Have you ever been up against it before? Remember God's provision in the past. And if you'll remember that God had done it in the past, don't function out of fear. Function in faith. Don't burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel. Keep your faith in God. Believe in God. You know, He's the same God that He's always been. Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Here, someone is being told that you're worried about being consumed, and it's being said, wait, I'm the same God that pulled you out the last time. I can pull it out again. Isn't it amazing how tricky the devil is, though? Boy, we can go through something that's terrible. We think life is all over with, and God steps in and miraculously saves our hide. And it's not but a year later, rather than thinking back and learning from God's salvaging grace from a year prior, now we're facing it again and we're acting the same way. Oh no, I can't make it. God's not going to do it. God's forgotten me. The Bible's not true. What's wrong with you? He brought you through the last time. How many times did He have to bring you through to strengthen your faith? My God's not dead. Folks, God's alive. Don't burn your barrel. Don't lose your faith in God. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ's glory, in Christ Jesus. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Could I recommend that you not burn your barrel? There are people in this room. You are in the process of losing your faith. You got a pack of matches out. You've got your barrel of your faith in God, and you are getting ready to burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel. Keep your faith in God. Some of you are panicked today over situations that are identical to situations of your past that God brought you through. Don't burn your barrel. Hey, Daniel, don't burn your barrel. You're going to get out of that lion's den. Yes, sir. Hey, David, don't burn your barrel. You can get through this battle with Goliath. Hey, Noah, don't burn your ark. You're going to need that thing. Don't burn your barrel. Don't lose your faith in God. God is good. God can still take care of you. And so when I look at this story, I think God comes along and through the prophet Elijah says to the widow, don't burn your barrel in fear, but keep your faith in God. Then He comes along and He says, now whatever you do, don't become all self-centered and all stingy and all consumed about you. Then He comes along and He says to him, He says, now listen, God can still meet your need. And God, if you'll follow the instructions of God, God can meet your need. Burn your sticks, but don't burn your barrel. That barrel was the receptacle that was proof that God was still alive, and she believed that God could still come through. Some of you, it's time for you to show your kids that you're really one of powerful faith. I want my children to look at their daddy and say, my dad really believes. My dad's not playing religion. My dad knows how to get a hold of God. My dad knows, my daddy knows the God of the universe, and I've watched Him provide. I'll promise you, that boy probably heard the other kids in the neighborhood. As they said, we hear y'all haven't burnt your barrel. Y'all crazy? You ought to burn your barrel like everybody else. She set her boy down and said, we're not burning the barrel, son. We're not turning our back on God. God can still provide. Said, but mama, wonder if we starve to death and we never burnt the barrel. Then we'll go to heaven with a barrel that's intact. They said of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, as they're being thrown into the burning fiery furnace, they said, hey, your God's going to deliver you, but wonder if He doesn't. They said, our God will deliver us, but if not, we still won't turn our back on our God. Somebody needs to say, I'm not burning my barrel, and if He doesn't fill my barrel, He's still my God. I still believe the same old way I always believed. Hey, don't burn your barrel. God can still meet your needs. Hey, number four, don't burn your barrel. But obey God's word. Don't burn your barrel. Obey God's word. 1 Kings 17:15, it says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. She listened to the man of God. The Bible says here in verse 16, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Don't burn your barrel. Obey the scripture. Keep obeying scripture. Don't stop obeying the Bible. Hey, I'll tell you this. This is not a sermon about giving. It's not a sermon about tithing. But let me tell you, don't stop tithing in tough times. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And his answer is in tithes and offerings. You need to depend on God even in the tough financial times. And there are some people that they decide, I'm going to burn my barrel. Hey, keep obeying the word of God. She didn't act in fear. She acted in faith. She obeyed the word of God. She did not become self-centered. And God brought a miracle, a miraculous event. You'll like this. A little boy who wanted $100 very badly prayed for 2 weeks, but nothing happened. So he decided he would need to write God a personal letter requesting the $100. When the postal authorities received a letter addressed to God, USA, they decided to send the letter to the President of the United States. The President was so impressed and touched and amused that he instructed his secretary to send the boy $5. President thought that this would appear to be a lot of money to the boy. The little boy was delighted with the $5 and immediately sat down to write a thank you note to God. And it read, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Washington, D.C. And as usual, those jokers deducted $95 of taxes." You say, "Brother Owens, what am I going to do? I turn on the news and everything's falling apart and everything's so bad and the national government, we're so deep in debt in America. I've got news for you, my friend. My God is not in debt to anybody, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Our dependence is not on the government of the United States of America. Our dependence is on our God. And I say to you, don't stop obeying God. Don't burn your barrel of obedience to the word of God. When tough times are here, listen to the preaching. Listen to the word of God. She obeyed the word of God and God came through. There was plenty of meal. There was plenty of oil. What's that oil picture? In the Bible, the oil usually pictures the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, what does a bread picture? The word of God. The word of God and the spirit of God. There is not a famine of the word of God and not a famine of the spirit of God. There's as much of that available to you as you want to have. And folks, if we've got God and the word of God and the spirit of God, we are richer than all those lost people out there in the world. Hey, don't stop coming to church during the tough times. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You be careful now. When you're up against it, you go out and gather your sticks. You do everything you can, but don't burn your barrel. And what barrel are we talking about? Your barrel, the obedience to the word of God, where God says, "Show up in church. Show up in church." That's what God told you to do. Hey, you better obey God. You better obey God. Don't stop living for God when times get tough. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Don't reject the preaching of God's word. The Bible says God hath manifest, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching. Oh, listen to the preaching. Don't burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel. Stay in the Bible. Don't burn your barrel. Claim the promises of God. Don't burn your barrel. Obey God's word, even when it's hard. You just don't burn your barrel. You see, she was going to eat and die. But you know what she did? God got into it. And God sustained her in a miraculous way. Don't burn your barrel in fear. Keep your faith in God. Don't burn your barrel in stinginess. Care about other people. Keep reaching people. Keep loving people. Don't draw into yourself and hide from people, but reach out and help somebody. Thirdly, don't burn your barrel because God is still the same God that met your need the last time it needed to be met. And then don't burn your barrel, but obey the word of God. Disobedience is burning the barrel of the word of God. Look at me, if you will. Hey, don't burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel. Look, everybody look right at me. Don't burn your barrel. Because God's handful is better than the world's barrelful. Don't burn your barrel. Because God's handful is better than the world's barrelful. 1 Kings 17:12, it says, she said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal. She's actually saying, I don't even think I have enough to make a little cake. I need everybody to pay attention. This is a strategic part of the sermon. This is not a time for us to start having disturbances. It's the most important part of the sermon. In 1 Kings 17:16, it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Not only did she get her physical need met, but she also saw God work. She saw God work. Listen to me, folks. I would rather have a time with an empty barrel that God fills than have a full barrel filled by me or any other man. Did you hear that? I'd rather go through the empty barrel process and watch my God bail me out than to have a full barrel and it's all about me and have all the security that the world would call great but never see God work. Don't burn your barrel. Don't give up. Do you know that had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ran, they would have never seen God's miraculous delivery from the burning fiery furnace? You know, it's time for some of you to watch God bail you out. You want to be used of God, then you're going to have your faith increased. America is a spoiled nation. You know, some of what America goes through in its struggles may turn some people back to God. There might be some people say, you know what? I'm going through some really rough times. What am I going to do? How about America become one nation under God again? How about America get the Bible back out? How about Sunday not be race day, but Sunday be God's day? How about people turn their eyes back to God? It would do America good to get knocked off her high horse, realizing she's turned her back on God. Hey, if Joshua would have ran, he would have never seen the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. Don't burn your barrel, Joshua. Don't burn your barrel, Shadrach. Don't burn your barrel, Meshach. Don't burn your barrel, Abednego. Don't do that. Don't burn it. You're going to need it. God can come through. I would rather be gathering sticks, out of wood, out of cooking oil, out of cornmeal, and up against it, and have God step in a supernatural way and confound everybody, than to have smooth, easy, comfy, cozy life. Hey, to have a full barrel but no working of God in my life, I'd feel cheated. I'd feel cheated. Don't burn your barrel. You'll regret it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. One of the best things you could do is to get born again. Get saved. Now, the Bible teaches you cannot save yourself. You can't save yourself. Hey, you know what you did? You've gathered the sticks. You're in church. You're listening to the preaching. But it is God that will miraculously intervene to save your soul. You see, you've done what you can. You've come to church. We're going to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm about to tell you how you can go to heaven. Now, you've done all you can do from this point on to go to heaven is to willingly receive the gift. There's a miracle that's called the miracle of salvation. And God provides that miracle. It was paid for by Jesus Christ through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. Salvation has been paid for in full for you. The only thing left for you to do is accept it as a free gift. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You say, I'm not sure of that. Well, you can be. The Bible teaches you can know that you're on your way to heaven. All you need to do is realize, number one, that you're a sinner. Realize, number two, that there is a penalty for your sin. Realize, number three, that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll turn to God, ask Him to come into your heart, be your Savior, forgive you of your sin, He will save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. Now let me explain, though. You won't work your way there. You're not good enough to take care of it yourself. You receive the free gift. There's somebody here today you need to get born again. The sermon was primarily to save people. It's to save people. Those of you that know you're on your way to heaven, don't burn your barrel. Don't burn your barrel. Those of you that are not saved, honestly, face yourself. If you died today, are you sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you'd go to heaven? You say, I'm not that sure. Why don't you trust Christ today? Why don't you get born again and receive the free gift, the miracle of salvation? You see, we learn it through the bread, which is the Word of God, and the drawing of the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. We learn of our need of salvation. Are you saved? Hey, Christian, how's your faith in God? Are you going backward or are you going forward? Don't burn your barrel. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is about salvation. The first question is, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Oh, should we be still at this moment? Listen to the question very, very carefully. You, it's personal. If you died this day, would you say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I need salvation. I need God to save me and take me to heaven when I die. Who here would say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want to know, but I don't know. I'm not going to lie in church. I'm going to tell the truth. God's spoken in my heart. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher? I don't know that. God bless you. I see that hand. You say, I don't know. God bless you. I see that hand. And another hand. And another hand. And another hand. You say, I'm not saved. I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know, but I don't know it. Would you raise your hand in the balcony on the lower floor? God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else. You say, I'm not saved. God bless you. I see your hand. You say, I don't know if I died today I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about this. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Well, you can know. The Bible teaches you can. We can show you what to do. We can show you from the Word of God how to be born again. Who else would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I need God. I need salvation. I see another hand. Who else would join these? You say, that's me. I need salvation. I need Christ. I need to be born again. Here's what's going to happen. Those of you that raised your hands just a moment ago, and those of you that should have, but you did not, we're going to start a thing that's called the altar call. We're going to have a time of invitation where we invite you to come to Christ. In a moment, the instrumentalists are going to begin to play. The congregation's going to stand. The choir's going to begin to sing. When that happens, you'll see others coming forward. We're not going backward, but we're coming forward. You'll see people stepping out and coming forward. They'll be coming forward to come to the altar. If you're not saved and you raised your hand, why don't you leave your seat at that moment and join the others coming forward? And you just walk up to one of the men. The men that are sitting on this platform will be standing down at the ground level at the front, at the end of each aisle. You walk toward them, walk up to one of them, and you say, I'd like to be saved. We have trained people that know the Bible that will take their Bible and show you how to be born again. We're going to help you through the process. It doesn't take long. We won't embarrass you. But don't leave this place without trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You men, I want you to get to your places quickly. Watch very carefully for the needs of those that are inquiring about salvation. Now, in a moment, those of you that are unsaved, you'll come. Don't let anything stop you. But let me ask you a question. I wonder how many people in here that are born again Christians, you know you're saved, but your faith is wavering. You took out your matches and you've been thinking about burning your barrel. You're turning back on God. You're further away from God this week than you were a month ago. Your service to God, you're waning. You've been in the process of burning your barrel. God, you need God in a special way. And God has spoken to your heart using this sermon about not burning your barrel. What Christian would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart in a special way today." Would you raise your hand and say, "God's spoken to my heart"? There are hands all over the auditorium. "God's spoken to my heart in a special way about not burning my barrel." If you need the altar, you Christian, you come. You come. And some of you need to come up here and the first thing you say to God, say, "God, I'm sorry." Maybe you already started your barrel on fire. You say, "I'm putting it out. I'm dousing my doubt. I'm doing away. I'm not going to burn my barrel. I'm going to keep my faith in God." You might need the altar. I'm going to ask that the instrumentalists begin to play. Let's